You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Amazing Rico Bronya Podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
Well, that really sucked. That was a big fun time. Welcome to our first drive home edition of Rico Bronya of the 2024 season. I'm in the process of trying to leave Citi Field after what was, and what the hell do you want to call that? That was a tease. And we got a little bit of a CT with the Luis Severino no-hit bid. We had Joey Wendell having his head so far up his ass that instead of throwing home and maintaining a 1-0 lead, he decides to turn a double play. He's got no shot to turn. But not only that, here's why I think it was like going into the top of the eighth inning that Luis Severino was indeed going to pitch a no-hitter. So I was going to this game. My dad, who's in this car right now, is going to this game. And my dad texted me that his leg was hurting. Now, I could tell you for the last 3 days, I've had this major back issue. It's from that time I got run over by a taxi, and it flares up every once in a while. So it's bad, man. I can, like, barely walk. So my dad can barely walk. I can barely walk. And there may have been a thought for, like, 2 seconds of, you know what? Maybe it's not worth going to this game. Let's be smart. You were thinking of not coming to this game. Yeah. My dad was thinking of not coming to this game. But then we go to the game. I pick him up. We get to the game. We limp our asses to the seats. It's painful. One's worse than the other. And then Luis Severino's flirting with a no-hitter. And as he took that into the eighth inning, I thought to myself, maybe it's meant to be. Maybe it's like one of those stories, you know, I tell my grandkids someday. I was about to not go to the Luis Severino no-hitter because my back really hurts. And your great-grandfather was about to go to the Luis Severino game, but he decided not to go because his leg hurt. And then we all went to the game, and it was a magical story. And a bunch of jackasses told us it's the first real no-hitter in the history of the New York Mets, even though it's not because they've already had two. And what a great story. So that did, I must admit, that popped into my mind ever so briefly in the bottom of the seventh inning. But here's the reality of this game, because they lost, and that's really all that matters. The reality is this offense completely sucks. And if it wasn't for Harrison Bader getting a two-strike base hit on Sunday, and if it wasn't for Mark Vientos hitting that dramatic home run, we would be talking about a four-game losing streak. We would be talking about, you know, 1-7 in their last eight games. I'm sorry, I'm trying to get out of this lot. He's telling me to go, but there's people in the way. I'm going to try to squeeze right through. Thank you very much. And I've pulled it off. I have gotten out of the Citi Field parking lot, and now I'm on my way to get the hell out of here. So anyhow, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, this offense sucks. Brandon Nimmo hits a leadoff home run. That's the only freaking offense they got all day. They made Jameson Taillon look like Cy Young. So even as Sevy was flirting with this no-hitter, you just knew. You knew they needed to score some more runs. You knew the bats needed to wake up, and they never did. I mean, think about the base hits they had in this game. J.D. Martinez flared a ball to left field. Jeff McNeil actually, I think, hit the ball hard with his base hit, if memory serves correct. But the bottom line is, and this has been kind of the trend over the weekend since they've gotten back from this West Coast trip, this offense has done nothing. And it's everyone, top to bottom. So, yeah, there are little parts of this game that drive you nuts. Edwin Diaz proves he's human. Should we be worried? His velocity's down. Joey Wendell has no idea what he's doing at third base and all that. But the reality is, can you score more than one run? Can you do that? Now, as far as Sevy's concerned, and that's really the positive you take out of this thing, the guy was freaking brilliant. And he did this in San Francisco, if you remember. He retired the first 12 guys in San Francisco before he ran into trouble, had the one bad inning, allowed the three runs, and the Mets couldn't hit Logan Webb that day, so it turned into a loss. In this performance, I mean, he was in complete control, got a little bit lucky on that little line drive that turned into a double play, but for the most part, there wasn't really hard contact against him. He was in real control, and if there is By the way, I'm like worried I'm going to run over a dog because there was so many freaking dogs at Citi Field. And I'm not talking about the Met bats. I think it was bring your dog to the game day or bark at the park or whatever the hell they call it. A lot of dogs. You know what I noticed about the dogs this time? The dogs were everywhere. Like usually they make sure the dogs stay in right field. I saw a dog in the Piazza Club. Didn't we see a dog in the Piazza Club? Yeah. Dogs everywhere. It's freaking unbelievable. But now I've gotten past that. Now I'm about to get on the highway and get the hell out of here. By the way, the game freaking flew. I mean, that game had a chance until the Cubs tied it up, but obviously the ninth inning took a while on both ends. That game had a chance to be a sub-2-hour game. And I was thinking about, have I ever been to a sub-2-hour game that wasn't, you know, rain-shortened or during that Fugazi time where they had the seven-inning doubleheaders? I don't think so. But anyhow, Severino was freaking brilliant. And for anybody who believes in jinxes, the only person that really jinxed this is Sean Morash, who texted me, hey, I was at the Doc Gooden no-hitter with my dad. This will be really cool for you. And I'm like, you jackass. I mean, seriously. And I tried. Like, I went on Twitter, and I think I tweeted Severino's pitching well. I stayed away from saying a damn thing. But the truth is, I think I said no-hitter like five times to my dad. I think I said perfect game two when he issued that walk in the fourth inning. Because even though the Mets have already thrown a no-hitter, they've thrown two of them. One of them felt real, the Johan no-hitter. The other one was so bizarre with the, you know, the five pitchers, however many it was that combined for it. There's still something special about it. And for Severino, I think it would have been very, very cool. His pitch count was low, so he had that chance to go nine. He was in real complete control. And then he finally gives up the base hit, that line drive that Lindor jumped up for and couldn't make the play on. But he was great. And I love the fact, and Mendoza did it again, I love the fact that he let him finish that eighth inning. You know, especially when Alonso tries to turn that double play and Severino falls down at first base or whatever it was, and it looked like he may have injured his ankle. I thought that would have been like the perfect excuse for Mendoza to take him out of the game, but he didn't do it. He keeps him in the game. He probably had that brief conversation with him. I know it was kind of the second mound visit, even though it's not because it was an injury. But as he's talking about his ankle and how it's feeling, he probably had that kind of same interaction with him as he had with Quintana of, can you get this last guy out? Can you get through this? And look, he sort of did, because the reality is Joey Wendell comes in for defense, and I have no issue with that. As the game was going on and Seve had the no-hitter, I even made that comment, boy, as soon as Vientos gets that last at-bat, that bat, you go to Joey Wendell. Because Vientos made two plays prior to that, one of which was a bad throw. It was a little bit offline. Alonso made a great play stretching. The other one was a good play. The other one was a fine play. But, look, we've all seen enough of Mark Vientos to know he ain't going to confuse anybody with Brooks Robinson. So, despite Joey Wendell making a bad first impression on us for that game he had, I guess, a couple of weeks ago now, the L.A. game, so maybe it was a week and a half ago, Joey Wendell's a better defensive third baseman than Mark Vientos. So I had no problem with him going for defense. And Joey Wendell didn't make a defensive miscue. He made a mental miscue.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Because with first and third and one out nursing a 1-0 lead, and you certainly know this offense is doing nothing, and it's a weak ground ball to third base, you gotta throw home. You have to. And it was an easy out, even if there wasn't a forced play at the plate. You make an accurate throw to Tomas Nito, it's an easy bang-bang out, and there's two outs. And now Severino's got a chance to just get the third out, get out of this thing with a 1-0 lead. And look, who knows what happens if Wendell makes the smart play? Does Severino still get the third out? Does Edwin Diaz still give up a two-run bomb to Christopher Morel? Who the hell knows? But in the moment, and I'm saying it as the balls hit the third base, you got to come home. Like, everybody with two eyes knew there was no way he was turning a double play on that ball. So it was a dumb play by Wendell. There was also a strike missed, I think, in that inning. I think Severino was ahead 0-2, and there was a very close pitch. Ryan Willis was the home plate umpire who missed the call. But look, it was just it shouldn't have been that situation, because if they score more than one effing run, you're not nursing that one run like it's the only thing you have.
Hey, Ev, guess what? I think we have the answer to what you want to do when Starling Marte comes back. I think it's a unanimous DFA Joey Wendell.
Listen, here's the reality. As much as that's now going to be an even more popular opinion, and Hoff told me we got like a voicemail of a guy cursing me out because I don't want a DFA Joey Wendell. Like, I'm the president of his freaking fan club. I'm not the president of his fan club. I just know they're not going to do it. They're not going to DFA a Major League Baseball player that they signed to a guaranteed contract, who, by the way, is their only true backup shortstop. Like, it's not going to happen. You know, Joey Wendell and Zach Short were redundant, both being on the team. Zach Short isn't here anymore. So as much as it's easy to say DFA Joey Wendell, they're not DFAing Joey Wendell. What they should do, especially after Brett Beatty gives you another, you know, lifeless strikeout at-bat. I know he fouled a couple of 0-2 pitches off. What they've got to do, and I kind of figured this out, I was talking through it with Tiki on the air on Monday, what they've got to do with this Vientos situation, because I know he took an offer, but he hit one ball 400 feet and certainly gave you at least that hope. And I'm not sitting him after an 0-3. Guy started off 3-for-4 at a game-winning home run, had a big base hit in the ninth inning the night earlier. Like, I don't think that's enough to say, all right, we've seen enough of Vientos, send him down. What they need to do, and I think it's very easy now, instead of this DFA Joey Wendell crap, is they got to send down DJ Stewart, who struck out with two on and one out in the ninth inning. Let's not forget that. After he got ahead of the freaking count and he got pitches to hit, they got to send DJ Stewart down, and they've got to treat Vientos and Brett Beatty like it is an ongoing competition as this season goes on. That's what I would do. You want to play? Hit. You don't hit, the other guy plays. And then between JD getting his off days, because he's not going to DH every day, both guys at times will both get in the lineup. But that's what I would do. I would treat this like it's spring training, because I'm not doing it to evaluate them. I'm doing it because, you know what? You hit, you play. That'd be my attitude towards it. And Mendoza kind of gave you a hint that he may do that because of the fact that Vientos even played today. Like, the only reason he played Monday night is because he hit the game-winning home run on Sunday afternoon. And a lot of managers don't do that anymore. A lot of managers have their lineups. They've got their, hey, this guy matches up well with that guy, and they stick with it. Like, Carlos Mendoza literally rewarded Mark Vientos for hitting a game-winning home run, and that's why he was in the lineup. And that's what they should do. Because Brett Beatty, let's face it, while he's looked decent at third base defensively, what the hell has he done offensively since the hamstring injury? He's 3-for-his-last-24. And by the way, even when he was getting hits before that, a lot of it was soft contact. A lot of it was luck. So Brett Beatty should not be like the lockdown third baseman. They should treat those two guys like they're battling for a freaking job. And day by day, sometimes you can play the matchup, sure. Like, I kept forgetting that Imanaga, I got it on my third try. Imanaga's a lefty, so they are facing a lefty in this series. I keep forgetting because I haven't seen this guy pitch yet. That'll be my first look at him this week when he's on the mound Wednesday for Chicago. But he's a lefty. So some days you're going to go based on lefty-righty, but other days it's just be, who's hitting? Let that guy play. But either way, this was a brutal freaking loss. Let's not sugarcoat it. You get a flirted no-hitter from Luis Severino. You get another brilliant starting pitching performance, and you blow it because the offense does nothing. And I haven't even mentioned Edwin Diaz because, look, here's the reality with Edwin Diaz. He's a human being. He's going to have a day in which he gives up a home run. He didn't give us much of that in 2022, but until this becomes a trend, like, you want to tell me, am I worried about Edwin Diaz? He comes out, he gives up another bomb 2 days later, and he starts to really struggle, fine. But this was really his first bad performance we've seen from him. And as far as, because I already know this is a thought, and I've given it a lot of thought too about, do you save your closer for the 10th inning because there's a runner on second base? I was thinking about that the other day because even the Yankees sort of faced that situation with Clay Holmes the other night, and we have obviously faced that situation with Edwin Diaz. Extend the game. That's my attitude. Don't overthink the 10th inning, because if Diaz doesn't come into this game, and let's say the Mets use Adam Ottavino or Jorge Lopez or whoever they use, and they blow the game in the 9th inning the way they did anyway, Christopher Morel hits a home run, and you never get to use your best reliever because you're waiting to use him with a runner on second and nobody out, that's no way to lose a game. I think that's a mistake. So I got no problem with the fact that Mendoza used Edwin Diaz. The reality is he fell behind Christopher Morel 3-1. There was a runner on second base after he gave up that rope double. And what was the pitch he threw? Did you see, Hoff? Was it a 3-1 fastball right down the middle, or did he just hang a slider? Because I thought it was a fastball right down the middle. And do you know what that pitch was?
I wasn't watching. I was doing karate at that point in time. Sorry.
Does your son know what that pitch was?
Ant, do you know what that pitch was?
Wait, what pitch?
No, he missed it.
What pitch?
The pitch that got deposited in the left field seats by Christopher Morel. All I know is when he fell behind 3-1, my thought was, don't F around, just put him on base. Just don't even worry about it. I know there was a lefty on deck, but when you fall behind a slugger like Morel, I know he's off to a bad start, but he had a pretty good year last year. Don't F around. So that's my first guess, second guess, because he hit the absolute tar out of that ball where you knew off the bat it was getting out. But let's not be confused. This game is not on Edwin Diaz. This game is not on Luis Severino. And to an extent, it's not even on Joey Wendell. It's on the limp offense, a leadoff home run by Brandon Nimmo and nothing else. Lindor did nothing. Alonso did nothing. I mean, honestly, nobody did anything. I know J.D. Martinez had a base hit early in the game, but he came up after that really good at-bat by Pete Alonso against Hector Neris. And what the hell did he do? So they got to figure out a way to get wasted another brilliant start. It's not that they wasted Quintana yesterday, but they got lucky with Quintana. But how about the fact, and give Quintana and Severino major credit for this, the Mets somehow, who basically get 5 innings from their starter, usually less, pulled off getting back-to-back 8-inning performances. And with that said, still used Edwin Diaz twice. So we'll see if he's available on Tuesday as the Mets try to get a victory in and really turn this homestand into something good. Because right now it's 1-3. They should be 0-4, but it's 1-3. And we sat here before this trip or this homestand started, and I think I said, get me 5-2, 4-3, I'd be okay with. Now we'd have a celebration if they could get the 4-3. Because unfortunately, they put themselves in this 1-3 hole with a real downer of a game on Monday. Hoff, were you live, and did you think Luis Severino was going to pull this off and pitch a no-hitter?
I was not live, unfortunately, but I saw – this is how I knew what was going on, because I saw your stupid tweets. As soon as that happened, I knew there was no chance of a no-hitter.
Well, first of all, what did I say? I tweeted that Luis Severino is pitching well. Isn't that basically
what I said? Yeah, I know, but that's right. I know what that means.
Oh, so that's code and that gave it away?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing I found out is that SNY popped me on while they were promoting Evan and Tiki. I still haven't gotten a chance to see that, but apparently they don't like my beard. That's the impression I've gotten through telephone via text messages. But either way, we suck again. We're back at 500. They need to find a way to win tomorrow night against the Chicago Cubs and try to turn this thing around and at least get some kind of winning mojo going before they go to Tampa Bay. Either way, my back hurts. My dad's leg hurts. Somehow we got out of Citi Field alive, and we didn't see a freaking no-hitter, which means my dad has only seen Chris Heston pitch a no-hitter. I've only seen Chris Heston and Johan Santana pitch a no-hitter, and that's all we're at. Thank you for watching and listening. A very special drive home edition of Rico Bronya. Now I'm going to try to drive safely. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rico Bronya podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.